Obituary.
Peter Schickler / PDQ Bark. The Short-Tempered Clavier. Peter Schickler and PDQ Bark, two sides of the same coin, died on January 16th, aged 88.
His own musical career looked fairly good on paper. He had more than 100 serious works to his name. The National Symphony, the Minnesota Opera, and several string quartets had all commissioned works from him. He wrote film scores too, including tracks for Silent Running in the 1970s. But Peter Schickler could indulge his dream of serious composing only because, for half the year, he was touring the concert halls of America with a much more celebrated part of his persona, a bibulous, cranky, chaotic remnant of the 18th century called PDQ Bark. This last gasp of the Bark family had been mercifully forgotten until, in 1954 or so, Mr. Schickler found the score of PDQ's Sanka Cantata being used as a filter in a caretaker's percolator in a castle in Bavaria. From that moment, in taverns, attics, trash cans, even the East River, scores kept turning up. All were in surprisingly fresh condition, though also much scribbled over. As self-proclaimed professor of musical pathology at the University of Southern North Dakota at Hoopole, Mr. Schickler was now on a mission to uncover and promote this mystery composer. It took up the rest of his life and entertained audiences hugely on the way. Research into the Bach family revealed that there was indeed a 21st child, born in Leipzig on April 1, 1742. So backward did he prove that his dates were often given as 1807 to 1742. His very name, PDQ, presumably pretty damn quick, suggested his usual mode was the sulky reverse. Though his father never trained him, and he gave up music at three, the illustriousness and sheer productivity of Big Daddy Bach made it hard to avoid that life. The struggle was immense. PDQ's choral preludes on Are and Should could not find anything more to say. His Short-Tempered Clavier was subtitled Preludes and Fugues in all the major and minor keys except for the really hard ones, and no one could mistake the rage that animated his versus concertos. Concerto for bassoon, his own instrument, versus orchestra. Concerto for piano versus orchestra. Concerto for two pianos versus orchestra, where the final, all-marmalising chord from the orchestra was inevitably answered by some mocking keyboard twiddle or other. Besides the burden of the name, PDQ's life was sadly undisciplined. Some works evoked the expected chaos of a large household. Breakfast Antiphonies, for example, played in stereo, strings on one side of the room, winds and brass on the other. Or Allegretto Gabinetto for plumber and keyboarder. Or his famous canine cantata, Wachet Af. But his principal problem was drink. When Mr. Schickler divided his doppelganger's musical life into just about coherent periods, he called them the initial plunge, the soused brown bag, and the contrition. In the first, which lasted about 6 days, PDQ learned all he ever would about the craft of music. Most of the second, almost foolishly productive spell, was spent face down in a gutter in Wein am Rhein. In the third, he nursed his hangover in hopes it would end. An unexpected portrait of him, found in an alleyway in Leipzig, showed an august, bewigged patriarch at first glance. But the knees of his breeches were muddy, and his tankard, in a minute, was about to tip into his lap. Years of work on the scores left Mr. Schickler with two main conclusions. The first was that PDQ was an utterly shameless plagiarist of other people's works. forgetting for a moment the all-pervading Bach connection. He was a merciless filleter of Mozart. Eine Kleine nicht Musik and Haydn, half Nelson Mass. Yet he was often so drunk as he did his borrowings that he forgot how the notes actually went, and in his fumblings could be dazzlingly original. Though Mr. Schickler insisted on his absolute and utter lack of talent, in his heart of hearts he did not always think so. PDQ's originality with instruments was perhaps a sign of genius too. After all, what lovely sounds might emerge from a pastaphone, a dill piccolo, a shower hose, or a trombone, which had the slide of a trombone and the reedy top end of a bassoon. A favourite with both men was the Lasso d'Amore, one of those whirly, whistling plastic tubes developed by Viennese cowboys who found that, once made musical, they were useless to round up cattle. The Lusche Leipziger was also a seer of sorts. Internal evidence suggested that, though he never went there, he knew the United States and its musical future curiously well. How else to account for the title of his most celebrated cantata? Iphigenia in Brooklyn, with Orestes' poignant aria, "O ye gods, who knows what it is to be running? Only he who is running, running, running knows." Or the rousing harmonica-led Blas Grass cantata, or the mini-opera Oedipus Tex. How to explain the tenderness of the Christmas carol, "O Little Town of Hackensack," or the vibrant concerto for horn and hardart, America's first dispenser of hot mac and cheese through an automat. Yet prescience could work two ways. Mr. Schickler had speculated on the possibility of another Bach son, while, as a bluff and frisky Midwesterner, he was doing his music studies at the Aspen Music School and Juilliard. Already, like PDQ, he enjoyed larking around with the styles of other composers, expertly noodling popular songs into serious sections, letting weird sounds intrude wherever useful and generally shocking people. Nobody was better than PDQ at that, and luckily the works kept coming. Something already in Mr. Schickler led him to just those insalubrious spots where his kindred spirit had left an offering. Even the piece of paper he skidded on once in New York as he walked home from the baker's turned out on close inspection to be the score of PDQ's 4 next-to-last songs. When friends sympathised with his strange condition, rescuing one highly dubious composer from neglect while getting mostly neglected himself, it was hard to know what to reply. PDQ had indeed netted 4 of his 5 Grammys. But they had joyously broken most of the musical rules together, twinned in a satire of love. The best response was probably a sigh and a wink, followed by a rousing tootle on the left-handed sewer flute.